Blog Talk Radio.
Out of sorrow to take us back, not knowing I'd lose my best friend. Up my eyes, all God's children to stand. Hey, tell somebody, say, you stand. Yeah, Lord, yeah. Stand for holiness.
For holiness.
Whoa.
And for righteousness.
And be counted.
And be counted among them that shall reign with him.
Stand. Not believing, at least some of my friends. And I would rather, I'd rather live right. Burning hell, lift up my eyes. All of my children just stand. Stand. Everybody say it, you stand. Oh, stand for holiness.
Stand for holiness.
Oh,
stand for righteousness.
Praise God for that song, because we're going to be talking a little bit today about standing in the midst of struggles. But I'm going to give you a little bit more in a minute as to where I'm going to be going with this topic. But I thank and praise God, family. Just a minute ago, I almost couldn't get on my phone to call in. And so I know the devil is upset this evening, because God switched my message on me on what I'm going to be talking about, but that's okay. We about to give him his papers to walk up out of our life, up out of our situations, and up off this network in the mighty name of Jesus. So let's start in a word of prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you and praise you. I magnify you. I glorify you. I thank you, O God, for this evening, for the family that has logged on, O God, and called in for this evening's broadcast. I thank you, O God, that you have kept us this far, God. Everyone has been counted safe. Everyone has been counted well, O God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we just invite your spirit always into this place, O God. I ask, Lord, that you go into each and every home and each and every heart right now, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, let this word that goes forth, O God, help us, oh God, to be able to grow. Help us to be able to stand. Strengthen us, Lord, as a kingdom together, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Let not one of our brothers or our sisters fall by the wayside or struggle on their own, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. But you called us to do it together and to do it in unity. And God, we just continue to ask, God, for your blessings upon the Now Network and our leader, Pastor E. God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen, family. So, again, I had something else that I had already purposed in my mind that I wanted to talk about this evening. And today I came across an article. And after I read the article, the Spirit said, this is what you need to talk about. And it was mighty interesting because, you know, I've always, always, always shared with you guys that I'm a pastor that cannot and will not preach past the revelation that the Spirit of God has given me for my life. Hear what I'm saying. Preaching past the revelation that you have gotten, what I'm trying to say is preaching outside of revelation that you have gotten for your own life first is just giving a good speech. Preaching and teaching and being able to empower people and be effective in empowering people comes when you have studied, you have laid before the Lord, you have gone through your trials and tribulations, God has revealed to you through his word your, you know what I'm saying, your downfalls, your failures, your strength, the move, and so on and so forth. So I'm not one to preach past my life and the revelation for my life. So therefore, when I talk about this article today, and as I read it, in light of other situations that's going on that brought me to reading this article, and I'll tell you about that in a minute, I saw myself in it. And it didn't shock me because I understood how I got there. But now that I understand more, how do I help other people? So what I'm talking about today is most of y'all probably have seen that there was another pastor who committed suicide in California, said that he dealt with mental health issues, depression issue, but he also was an advocate and a counselor for people that had mental health issues. And so an article came up that said 6 reasons pastors silently struggle. And this was posted back on August 28th, 2018. So this is not a recent article. This is a last year's article. But, of course, it is relevant for today. And the why and how leaders are struggling and how important it is for leaders not just to pray, but leaders need to pray together, okay? And leaders, and I'm talking about everybody. You know, everybody is a leader of some sort. So I'm not just talking about the bishops, the pastors, the apostles, people with churches, church buildings, and things like that. I'm talking about if you're any type of leader, if you're working with the people and the people of God, if you're working with the unsaved in any type of way, trying to draw them in, if you're, you know, if you have people that call you because they need counseling and, you know, you're the first person that they can call to and talk to and cry to and things like that. So I'm talking to you too. But however, we need to get together more to have prayer sessions. And the hateration and the competition among leaders have got to stop. I can say that I'm just a small little city woman over here in the middle of Wisconsin somewhere that nobody knows and saying, well, how can she say that, and okay, she's saying that, but it ain't going to go anywhere. Me telling you, I need you to tell somebody, to tell somebody, to tell somebody that it can get across this nation that hateration and competition amongst leaders need to stop, and I mean now. Because, again, if you're not seeing how, and I'm going to get into it, but I'm going here. If you can't, my Jesus, help me, Holy Ghost, if you can't see how what you're doing, what you're saying is affecting your brother and sister to a point that they feel they can't measure up. And because they can't measure up, it's sending them into a depression, it's sending them in anxiety, and to commit suicide, then something is wrong with you and something is wrong with us. Even when it's not coming to leaders, you know, as they say, somebody can be one negative word away from snapping, and you don't want to be the one to deliver that negative word. You don't know where the mind of people are. So therefore, don't be the one to flaunt yourself, you know, have your image, you know, so high where you talk, you know, down, you know, on the little people or whatever the case may be, that they feel that they're nobody because they can't touch you. And I'm also off the message here. I remember there was a time where there was a bishop that we were up under that was very untouchable. And I mean untouchable to a point where, I mean, people surrounded him so tough that he walked out with his nose straight in the air. Nobody can touch him. Nobody can shake his hand. Nobody can say hi. Nobody can say any of that. That's not how we're to be, okay? So back onto the subject. We should not lose another pastor to suicide, whether by death, physical body, or by them quitting and choosing to give up and not want to serve in the church no more. So we had two type of suicides going on, and I was at a conference on this weekend, and the gentleman, I'm so sorry, I can't call his name, and I really need to be able to. But, however, he was speaking on that there are 1,000 churches that open per year, but there's 4,000 churches that close per year. I'm serious. I will find that statistic. I will send it over to Pastor E because I got bought the gentleman's book, and so you can see there is three times as many churches that close per year than open. So you feel that there's a lot of churches, but they're closing down. For what reason? Okay. Yeah, some of them might have been because they decided to jump out there on their own. They really didn't hear the call of God or, you know, things like that or, you know, whatever. But yet and still, why are we not concerned about that pastor that, you know, just opened up a church and now he had to close his church? Why are you not concerned? Okay. So going on to it says depression and anxiety are real challenges for many people. Pastors are no different. Pastors are normal people just like the person in the pews next to you, yet pastors can struggle in unique ways. Okay, so now let me go on to what the article says, and it had a scripture reference, which was Hebrews 13:17. Which will be our foundational scripture for today. I always got to give you a scripture, right? Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. So we know when it says that the blood is required on the leader's hand who leads anyone astray from God, right? Okay, so this is heavy. Their work is not merely a public speaker and personal life coach. They are called to bear the weight of watching over your soul as a congregation. Now, I do have to try to, and I don't want to do it because I just said I don't want to spew out negative, but we really do have to separate the real pastors from the not real pastors. I'm not going to give them another word, but the real pastors from the not real pastors, because the real pastors really are concerned about your soul. They're not concerned about your money. They're not concerned about your status. They're not concerned about your image. They're really concerned, do you know God for yourself? Do you have a relationship with God for yourself? Will you meet your maker in peace? Will he say, well done, thy good and faithful servant? That is what a real pastor's concern is, because we understand that if you have God and you have that type of relationship with God, the rest is going to come. You understand what I'm saying? The rest of your children, you know, your marriage, you have the resource and the answer, the best resource and the answer, which is God, to make it through your struggles. Okay? So the article went on to say, granted, there are some pastors who are in the business of ministering for the wrong reasons. Some are driven by fame, fortune, and even the fear of failing. But the vast majority of pastors are good men and women who fear only God and want nothing more than to be true to their calling of caring for and watching over your soul. All right, so let's go on here a little bit. It talks about six, the title of this article was Six Reasons Pastors Silently Struggle. So let's get into them real quick. Okay, and I solicited some help from Pastor E. I even sent a text message to Prophet Dwayne that I'll be asking them to chime in on this. But I really want you to hear my heart on this. Please do, because, again, I'm talking to you from these struggles, and I'll share as the Lord gives me, puts it on me to share. The first thing that the pastors struggle with is secrets. Now, here, don't jump to conclusions. Hear me first. Secrets. Pastors are trained and encouraged to be shelters for people's secrets. Sure, they have their own, but most pastors carry the secrets of people who have confided in them. They are valued as confidants. It is one of the few tools in pastors' tool belt that helps them to earn the trust of people they're called to lead. You want a leader that you can go and talk to and share what's going on with you, and you know that they're going to keep that in confidentiality. That's how you earn the trust of your leader. Many of us, a time or two, have experienced where you said something and all of a sudden you heard it across the pulpit. Been there, done that. You understand what I'm saying? You don't want to be under that type of leader. You know when it's revelation from God versus they preaching on your business. So they know the real reason that you haven't that they haven't seen your family in a while at church. They know your marriage struggles. They know your health issues. They know about all your bad children. They know your addictions. They know that your bills is not getting paid, your lights off, you getting evicted, your car being repossessed. They know that you've been cheating. They know you lying, you're drinking, you're abusing drugs, you're mistreating your spouse. They know all that. They know all your secrets. But guess what? Then on top of that, they have their own. So that is, if you just think about all the things that you and I have ever shared with the man or the woman of God, our leader or our pastor, right now your heart should sink and say, wow, he had to listen to mine times 150 other people. That's a lot of secrets. That's a lot. Then plus they have their own that they're dealing with. They know what people, and then on top of that, they even know what people are saying behind their backs, but yet they can't say nothing to keep your secret. When you live that kind of life, it becomes extremely difficult for pastors and leaders to share their own struggles. You understand what I'm saying? Because, again, if I'm having marital struggles, why would you come and share your marital struggles with me? You're wanting to come and share your struggles with somebody that you feel have it together in that area, when you're not understanding that they probably don't. They're just blessed with the grace and the favor and the mercy of God and the Holy Spirit to be in this position to still continue to help you while they're secretly struggling themselves. All right? The next thing, number two, separation of church and faith. Separation of church and faith. This was a good one to me, and this one was an eye opener just across the board for all my leaders that I know. It says pastors are often vulnerable to the influence of the church in their personal life and faith. When you're out front, your back is exposed. You're vulnerable, and good leaders don't spend time trying to protect themselves, because putting up walls doesn't protect you. It pushes you away. Hear what I'm saying? Leaders can't have walls up. They can't. As fast as I try to build a wall, as fast as it gets torn down. Leaders can't have walls. Because if we have walls, or if they have walls, that positions you away from us when we need you close to us to be able to fill your heart and get the revelation that we need from God in order to help you. How can I help you if I'm not connecting to you, your situations and your problems, to be able to give you wise counsel? So again, they can't do, they can't build that brick wall up. They have to leave their entire self exposed to the people. Yet when you are totally open to the influence of the church and those you lead, you run the risk of allowing your faith to be dictated by the status of the church. And what it means by that is, remember, there's ups and downs and there's highs and lows when it comes to the church, which sometimes make your leader's faith waver, because they want to see more success, not so much in the finances, hopefully not, but they also need success in the finances to be able to pay the bills of the church. But guess what? That's at a low. Tithing's at a low. Offering's at a low. They're struggling to pay the bills. You're struggling to do this. They got to go visit you at the hospital. Then they got to go to little John's court because he's going to get sentenced and this, that, and the other. They're sometimes looking up at heaven like, God, where is you at in any of this? Can you give me some type of relief somewhere? At least let the finances be good if I got, the people in the congregation going through health issues or this, or at least let the people be good. I can struggle with the finances, but God, you got the finances of the church going haywire. You got sister so-and-so health going haywire. And on top of that, I got my own kids going crazy. God, come on now. So understand there is a battle with them as well. When most people understand this, when most people show up on Sunday for church one time a week for a few hours, understand for pastors, they live there. You come there one day a week for about 2 hours. When they there every day of the week, 24/7, you say, no, they're not, they're at home. But guess what? Mentally, emotionally, spiritually, even when the doors is locked and the lights are off, they still there. So they don't have a separation from church, home, church, faith. They have that struggle. The next thing, number three, is salary. Outside of those who have large churches and large budgets, most small churches struggle to give the pastor a salary. They don't get health coverage. They don't get retirement benefits. They don't get paid vacations. They don't get to do any of that. They can't afford any of that. But most of all, as far as when it comes to salary, most of the pastors now are working a full-time job, because they don't want to take a salary from the church. They want what comes to the church for the church. So they work a full-time job. So not only do they have to sit 8 hours of the day, listen, okay, Holy Ghost says share. I go to work to work. I work three jobs at my job. I do my job. And Lord knows I need to get better to make sure I am not stealing from the company I work for. by being on their time, getting paid, doing so much of my other work that I'm not getting paid for. Where else do I have time to actually do ministry and plan and write sermons and this, that, and the other than on my job? I can do some when I come home, but most of the time after work, I'm always running to go support one of my brothers and sisters because everybody got their anniversary and revivals and everything going on. So most of the time, I'm at work working. I'm at work getting paid for working a job that I'm not getting paid for. So it's a struggle, okay? The next thing is shame and stigma. Watching over the souls of others is spiritually and emotionally draining. Pastors live in the land of extreme emotional highs and intense emotional lows. One of the reasons why many pastors share their struggles only on the surface level is that there is still a culture of shame and stigma in the church. Many pastors struggle in silence because they are ashamed to publicly admit that they are not people you see on the stage or in the pulpit. Now, hear me. Let me kind of defend that one a little bit. So, again, it's not that they're trying to be fake. It's not that they're trying to be unreal or not be transparent. But they understand that, listen, I can't tell you everything. There are some things that I have to, it's me and God, we got to do this, and the person that you see in the pulpit, again, God gave me grace, mercy, and favor to be able to minister to you, but as soon as I leave here, I still got to go home, and I got to get on my knees, and I got to cry, and I got to fuss and everything else because I have so much going on. So the one thing is, and I spoke with Pastor E earlier today, and how all this hit me was, y'all know I was excited about starting the ministry. Still am excited, so please don't take that away. Excited about starting the ministry. I've been 1 month into the ministry, started August 4th, 1 month and one Sunday, right, because we're on the second Sunday. So I done had five Sundays. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, I had car trouble. I still have car trouble. My car is going to cost about $1,000 to get fixed. So now I'm trying to make a decision whether I'm going to pay for the car to get fixed or trade it in once I get some more money saved to get another car. Then I got a letter on last week that said that we got some new owners of the building that I live in, and they decide they want to go ahead and jack up the rent and increase it way past what I can afford by myself. So now I have to have another apartment to move to, but now I have to pack up my home. I have to come up with first month's rent and security deposit while still paying rent currently where I'm at right now so I can have a place to stay now to be able to go to where I'm going. Then on top of that, you know what I'm saying, other issues with people and so on and so forth. When I say all of a sudden at one time I was hit, now I can only share that with you because now I'm at a point where, because last week, Tuesday, I was late for work. I had to sit here on this bed and cry. But again, there's a stigma as far as to think that we have it all together, to think that our home life is A-OK and A-1 condition because we're called to pastor, we're called to preacher. No, daily we go through the same thing you guys go through. But guess what? When my girlfriend called me today and said that she went to the doctor and they think that she had a mild heart attack and she needs to go to get a CT scan tomorrow and an echocardiogram, man, I had to shake my problems off and I had to be there for my friend. And, okay, what the doctor's saying, what time we got to go, what's this, how you doing, and this, that, and that. Emotionally, I have to be attached to the people that I'm leading, and then guess what? When am I going to be attached to my own problems? So understand the mental pressure that they're going through. Okay, so I don't say. So then the other one is suspicion. Suspicion was really good. Let me talk to you about that one real quick. Suspicion. The work of the pastors and preachers is not to ignite the faith of God's people. In fact, it is the work of eroding the suspicion of God's people. So hear what it's saying. Yes, we are to plant faith in you and to grow your faith. But what it's trying to say is right now, people are so not wanting to go to church. This is an unchurched generation. They tired of church. They sick of church. Nobody wants to be in church. Where's your God? What is God doing? This and that. Most of the time trying to battle the suspicions of that the church is no good anymore, then we can really build the people. And therefore, again, you have the pastor stealing all the money. Okay, I'm not stealing any money. I have a job. I'm going to work. Now what? What else do you want to say? Oh, well, the pastor's sleeping with so-and-so and whatever. Okay, so-and-so, this, that, and the other. You've seen us this together or whatever. Now it's got to be all. There's so many suspicions going on when it comes to the church, the body of Christ, when it comes to leaders. Binoculars is on the leaders. Eyes is on the leaders. They in a garbage can and everything, trying to find something against the church. And it's interesting because Larry Reed, if you ever watch Larry Reed on YouTube, oh my gosh, I had to stop watching him because Larry Reed is in everybody's business. He in everybody's garbage can when it comes to the church. He telling the dirt on anybody and everybody he possibly can. Come on, y'all. You understand what I'm saying? You putting pastors under some serious anxiety with that. I mean, if as they say in a regular relationship, if you don't trust me, move on, move around. If you're not trusting your leader, then move on, move around. Because you don't want to be the one where it's like, I done tried to prove. Listen, help me, Jesus and Holy Ghost, please. Me, even as a woman, a single woman, compromised to try to get someone to trust me. You understand what I'm saying? Pastors are going to that level, or leaders or whoever, are going to that level where they're compromising the word of God, compromising who they are, compromising the church just to get you to believe in them and trust them. But guess what? If they don't realize that after I done compromised with you, you ain't going to trust me anyway. Now you got something to use against me. But I did it for you. I did it to try to bring you in. I did it for you to understand that I'm a real person and I'm genuine and I'm faithful and I'm true and to this and this, that, and the other. I let you come over my house. I let you, you know, eat with me. I let you dine with me. I let you in. I let you vacation with me. I didn't barge a few dollars. I done did all this so you could trust me, just so you don't have suspicion. And guess what? You still turn around and stab him in the back with what you know. This is what's happening to the leaders. And daily they have to go through this, and it's causing mental health issues. People are suspicious on your decisions. They're suspicious on how you decide, who you decided with, when did you decide it, and why did you come up to that decision. People are questioning everything when it comes to leaders. Who wants? I'm serious. Put yourself in a relationship, men and women. Okay, men, your woman questions you about every single thing you do. Where you been? Where you go? Who you do it with? What time was you there? What time was it? Well, why you do that? Well, why you say that? Well, who made you do that? What made you think that? Why? You understand? That would drive you nuts. Same thing with women. Please don't do it to me. Got told off asking me 1,000 questions. But can you imagine a leader who has to answer to people that have those kind of questions all the time? All the time. Just like you get anxiety on one, they got several. Last thing, symptoms. When pastors honestly do not know the signs and symptoms of depression and anxiety, most pastors, this is the killer. This is the stinger. Most pastors love what they do. They love people. They love their church and their communities. And honestly, when you love serving, you have when you love serving, you have a hard time drawing the line, creating healthy boundaries, and doing ministry within a margin. I almost cried on that one. A lot of pastors don't even know that they're depressed. because all they know to do is keep going and keep helping. And again, like I said, they will compromise everything about them, about themselves, including their own soul, just to make you feel comfortable, just to, you know what I'm saying, just to have you somewhat in the presence. They don't even know that they're depressed themselves. I'm one that tries my hardest to keep check on my feelings and my emotions, especially when I'm going through something, because I know, as they say, in times past, what has happened, that now I have to remain focused, especially a person that have addictive behavior. And see, this is one, now we're going into the secrets, and I'm getting ready to open up the phone line. So if you got any questions or comments on this, you can go ahead and dial one and get ready to line up and have a talk with me about this. But let me put it to you like this, real. I used to, when I had problems, issues, or situations, I used to reach for the bottle. I will reach for drugs, or I will reach for sex. Something was going to comfort me while I was going through. Whatever came first, or whatever was at my reach first, is what was chosen to be my comfort. Okay? Guess what? The enemy knows that. He never stops doing what he does, which is trying to get you to fall, which is trying to get you to make a U-turn and go back. So therefore, I just told you all the issues that I'm going through. I have got to stay so focused. I'm so serious when I say I got to stay so focused. My head be in the book. It be in the Bible. I be listening to preaching on YouTube. I listen to, I'm about at all the Wild Gospels, 1998, 1990, 2000. I'm listening to all of old gospel. I've been singing Precious Lord, Take My Hand, I'm Free, Praise the Lord. I done went way back somewhere to Mahalia Jackson. Because, again, my flesh wants comfort, but I learned this flesh, you don't have that kind of, you don't have more control than my spirit. I have to keep feeding my spirit during this time to take control of you. So I'm saying that to you as a pastor. Can you possibly imagine what your leader might be going through? Those are the secrets that then they hide from you. Not all. I'm speaking so in general. Please don't go back looking at your pastor wondering what they're doing. I'm speaking so in general because, again, when the stress of life is upon them, who do they have to turn to? Who do they have to comfort them? You're like, God, okay, do you choose God all the time? Sometimes they don't either. And when they don't, now there's a guilt and a shame and a secret that they now have to keep, that who but the devil is going to whoop and beat their head in about it. Until they can confess it, or until they can find a brother or sister to be able to talk to about it and get free from it, as long as they keep it, the devil's going to whoop them with it. And I believe that that is I believe that that is one of the reasons that pastors are deciding to quit, is because they do have those trapped secrets. And again, some of them are birthed out of pressures. Some of them were things that they did not get resolved before taking the pulpit. So the mental illness, the depression, the struggle amongst leaders now today, Pastor V gonna tell you for real, it's real. It's real. I'm 5 weeks into this thing. It's real. Because again, we have many lives that we have to keep watch over, and then keep watch over ourselves. So dial one again if you want to get a part of this conversation. I am petitioning you to pray hard for your leaders. I'm also petitioning you to get into God for yourself, not so that you don't depend upon your leaders, but guess what? That problem that you getting ready to go talk to them about, you can go talk to God about. Please forgive me. Again, I'm talking in general. I ain't talking about everybody. But there's some people that just want to go gossip to their pastor. Can you stop that foolishness? He don't need to know everything. He really and truly don't. And somebody was saying, I think it was the conference this weekend, there is a level of respect that you need to have for your leaders. They don't need to know anything about really your sex life or you and your husband's sex life or the lack thereof of it. You don't need to put them headaches on them. If it's something really and truly that you need them to touch and agree with you on and need their prayers, go to them about that. But don't go to them and be like, we was at the family barbecue and my uncle said this and that. They don't need to know that whole story. You're putting more on them than you need to. So you know what I'm saying? So as people that are following leaders, go to God for yourself on some things. And some things that you can't guess, please go to your leader. But pray for them. Keep them lifted. Keep them highly lifted. And sometimes ask them, are you okay? They might not confide in you because, again, they have to keep the leader, you know, the leader congregation, you know, distance. But sometimes just you know. Pastor E, you there for me? But
yes, I am. I am here. Wow. I mean, this is an unspoken text. It takes someone to take their life for not just you. Believe me, you're firsthand on everything that we start talking about. But now everybody wants to get in the discussion instead of us getting this discussion and keeping it going. After that, I just keep being pulled in my spirit on how much it shows us that we are not all that, no matter your position. And yes, he's called some pastors, he's called some preachers, he's called some teachers, called some evangelists, he called some shepherds, he's called it. No matter what you've been called to, it doesn't separate you from being a person on earth dealing with earthly things, trying to handle it spiritually. That each one of us go through the same thing. Each one of us have the same challenges. Now, we get stronger because we have a call on our life and we now push, but it doesn't make us better than other people. And sometimes that's really the problem, my sister and those listening, is that we do not take it to heart on how important it is that we confess to one another.
Right.
And confession isn't like always, oh, man, I just – no, confession is communicating. I think we had a confession conversation today. It wasn't like I did wrong, I did this. We just talked, and it was like confessing, all right, see, I had to go through this, and I know I put myself through this, and I'm watching it on this end, and you're watching on that end. We confess, but confessing to one another is a trust that it's not going to be on Facebook and anything else. Now, first disclosure for everybody out there, this story definitely ain't about Pastor E. I'm good. I'm happy at what I'm doing, and I'm even more happy that I don't have everything people think I have. I'm gonna let that one settle down. But I'm also glad that I can go through and know I can go through with purpose to pull somebody with me and to be aware of the principles of God's word. He says, confess your sins to one another. Then it says, and pray for one another, that you may be healed. Each one of us need healing in some manner, some fashion or form. We all are faced with stuff. Look at you, Pastor Valoris Brooks. You would say, look at what the devil is doing to her. That ain't got nothing to do with the devil. Somebody sold the building. The people that bought the building want more money. The devil don't have nothing to do with that. Now, they may be a little devilish, but we can't blame that on the devil. That's life.
Exactly. That's life.
But look, you already said, I got somewhere else to go.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it is a very inconvenient moving,
very
packing, and moving.
And then on top of that, I got three events to do. You figure I got my conference September 28th, and I got my opening October 19th and 20th. So I still have to run ministry in the midst of me single, alone, trying to pack up a house and move it.
Okay, all right, check this out. That's where, now look, that's where confessing to one another comes in, because you just told it. Look, I got this going on. There's at least five, and I'm not even looking at the board right now, but I know there's at least five people on here that say, you know what, I could take assignment for that. Well, I live in California. I live in Texas. You could take an assignment spiritually for a person confessing to you saying, I need help to know I stand in the gap with you for that. I know I'm going to take that assignment. I'm going to take the east. They're going to take the west. He's going to take the south. She's going to take the north. And you're covered while you're going through this season. As a matter of fact, thank you, Holy Spirit. He just initiated that around you, and I'm going to agree with everyone that's saying yes and amen with me right now that we're standing in every area. I take on the assignment of the rest and of the strength you're going to need, and being able to maybe hearken somebody in that has the strength to come and help you. I'm too far away. If I was in Wisconsin, believe me, I would come and help you, me and the brothers up there. But that's where we should be as brothers and sisters, right, to know. We ain't got to be.
And understand that we know, like I know people of God, that God got me. But it takes nothing from me being human. You understand
exactly
what I'm saying? It takes
exactly
nothing from me mentally tired and drained already, because all I want to see is November 1st. Lord, just get me from here to November 1st, and all that happens in between, we're going to roll with it. But November 1st, well, Lord's going to pass out somewhere, because then I done made it. So I done already gave myself an end date and a rest date.
But Pastor V, if we're really looking at how to stop this epidemic, because it's not just this one instance. He just had it was major in ministry and was very notable. But there in these little churches throughout the country, there's suicides. There's an epidemic of suicide because, first of all, we're not trusting each other and we're not leaning on the word of God. Galatians 6:2, it says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I'm trying to help you, help me, help somebody else, help each other that we could do the right thing.
Right.
Amen. I believe we have a couple of callers that wanted to get in. I don't see you hitting one yet. But if you desire to get phone call, go ahead and dial one. We want you in this conversation.
Please.
We want to hear your opinion and your perspective.
Please do.
Area code.
Please dial one. Mm-hmm.
Area code 323, last 4-4-5-2-2. Elder Carlos Eppinger. What's up?
Praise the Lord, soldier.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And I want to speak on this. And this is Bible, chapter and verse, when it says in 1 Corinthians 14 to 34, then you got Ephesians 5 and 23 to 33, and we believe in the Bible, right? Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Right,
so,
yes. Or you want the amen?
Bible,
amen.
I'm going chapter and verse. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it's not permitted unto them to speak, but that they are commanded to be under obedience. There shouldn't be. Women work with emotions a lot. That's why we got a God to talk to. We can talk to God. We ain't got to worry about what a pastor's shortcomings are. And when you go to him in confidant and speak all your problems to him, and you worrying about what he's going through, and he got problems himself. You know, that's not even it says it's shameful. Women shouldn't even be over men. You know,
hold on. Hit the brakes. Hit the brakes, man. Hit the brakes. That ain't got nothing to do with the price of tea in China.
Because mental health.
Believe me. Hold on. Elder Carlos is a friend of mine. But I'm hitting the brakes on that. You see, I hit the mute because, first of all, we ain't finna draw that. We need to have that conversation one on one that we can really have that in depth. That's not going on the network. Number one, I don't care who you are, what friend of mine you are, that's not happening on the network. Secondly, it's not your call, my call, or anybody else's to say who God has called to speak the word of God and to be in a position of leadership. That's not my call. If they wrong, they gonna have to deal with it. If I'm wrong, I'm gonna have to deal with it. Simple as that. Thirdly, we're not trying to incite or to avoid anybody's point of view. What we're trying to say is here on this network, we're gonna be in one accord. And if it don't sound like yes, then it means no. We ain't talking about it. If it's not talking about lifting up or edifying or unifying, no matter who it is on this network, then it ain't even worth talking about. Not here. And that nobody else has to speak a word. I'm putting it down on here. Many can hang up, many can drop off, many can do whatever they want to do. But on this network, ain't happening. And anybody who knows me, no, I don't play like that. So all to say is that God bless you, my brother. I pray that you've heard my spirit and my heart on this matter. If you want to talk to me one-on-one about it, we can handle that. God bless that. Now, back to the matter of us supporting one another. See, that's supporting. That's being able to stand in and say, well, wait a minute, that's my friend. Wait a minute. Now, hold on. No. Hit the brakes up in here on this network. I'm glad
but
I showed somebody
earlier,
I ain't changed.
But you remember earlier I was saying that some people's words is one negative word away from that person deciding to end their life. And that's what
exactly.
We can't do, whether you agree or don't agree. One thing we can't do is come at it that way, because again, if I wasn't, you know what I'm saying, if I wasn't sound right now, I would take that and go ahead and jump off the bridge. Well, what am I doing it for? I got everything else going wrong in my life. Well, I might as well go. No, that's what we can't do to one another, period. You can't do that to, you know what I'm saying, whether a person decides to wear their hair blue. That's their option to wear their hair blue. It's not your right to be negative on their blue hair, because you don't know what type of day that they're having, and you don't know if they got a suicidal thought or a kill you thought.
Look, check this out, though. Let's keep it real. Some people get a little title and get brand new. The biggest dope smoker in the world, the biggest that, get brand new. Look, get brand new and want to start acting. Oh my God! Well, it's amazing to me how people take titles and go to another level. Totally unacceptable. Mm-hmm. Totally unacceptable. Yeah. But anyway, awesome word tonight, woman of God. I'm excited for what God is doing. With you and spirit and truth, I'm excited. I see God is just blossoming you in your learning and in your ability to serve and to deal with the people's needs, but also the needs of your own. And that's why we're going to continue to stand and agree with you. We know this struggle is a struggle. It wasn't a cakewalk. Whether you were married, whether you had 100 people, whether you had money out the union, no matter what it may be, it's a struggle. And we want people to know, don't take it for granted or take it lightly.
Right. And don't take it for granted. People that do have it all together or have the money, that they don't have struggles. It's just another level of struggles. So that doesn't do it. Understand that the enemy is still going to be real in everybody's life.
Exactly.
You are
we got
still
a caller.
Real
we got a caller
yourself.
that I think we need to bring in. This area code 3223 last 4-4-8-6-6. You're welcome to Women Speak Now.
Yeah, that was my whole life. 3 to 5 miles.
Hello.
They hit one and forgot
to do. No, it might have been an accident, you know, or they might have got excited on that part too. That was kind of, man, can I say that again? That was like foul. Wait till I see him face to face. But like, dude, you already knew you was out of line doing that on my broadcast.
That's all right. And see, again, ooh, remember I said you get used to it. It's something, unfortunately, that I'm used to, and I have learned to defend myself, and sometimes I don't. I just look at them and say, take that up with God. That's all I can tell you. Because, again, it's this time. What did he say? I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh, saith the Lord. Your sons and your daughters will
That's
prophesy,
right.
dream dreams.
Man, oh my God.
He even said it in his word. And again, there's some people that you, Pastor E, as a man can't reach that I can reach as a woman. That's all we're trying to do. We're trying to reach the people and build the kingdom. We ain't trying to do nothing of ourselves. Remember, I said there's a difference between the real leaders and the not so real leaders. The ones that are real are concerned about your soul. Pastor E can't reach everybody. I can't reach everybody. But Sue might can reach them or Bob might can reach them. It doesn't matter. We're trying to win them for kingdom and God. We're giving them to God. We're not drawing them to us. We're drawing them to God. When any person, man or woman, get off that purpose right there, then come holler at me. But as long as you see that their heart is real and their purpose is about lifting Christ up, because he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men and not lift up yourself, then we shouldn't have no problem.
Man. Oh, Jesus. Come on now. Oh, I'm amazed. I'm amazed. Some things catch me. I never get caught off guard.
That's okay, caught off guard.
Well, watch, you got to listen to the whole little phrase. I just got caught off guard.
It's okay.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
I'm sitting here and I'm saying, Lord, explain this to me, because this young man's mother was a global evangelist. Led people all around the place. He done got elevated to elder at Bishop What's His Name Church, and he done got all brand new. Oh my God!
That's okay.
Woo, man, I'm blown away.
You gotta remember that there's some things that come personally, and there's some things that come for all of us.
Ooh,
it might need to be heard and said for more than just you and I. And on top of that, somebody is listening to us on how we handle the situation too. So, again, we're going to take everything as a learning experience and as a growing experience for our listeners to say, listen, just like the enemy just came up that quick, that's what I'm talking about. With your own leader, the enemy going to come up on your leader just that quick.
But check it out.
You want your leader to be able to respond wholly. We actually did because
well,
we
I
had a moment
I
to
responded
think about
wholly.
It. But you understand what I'm saying? But we had a moment to think about it versus, guess what? Can you imagine that coming up to you or yourself, how you would really respond? So then, therefore, again, don't put your leaders in a position that you're not going to put yourself. If
Man.
All of a sudden somebody come up there and try to say something to them and they sit up there and cold check them ghetto style, oh, he's supposed to be saved. He's supposed to be a pastor. No, you would have done the same thing too. So, again, don't put us in shame. Don't put us in suspense.
Yeah, but for one thing, I'm glad everybody know that Pastor E is consistent. And I don't care if you're my friend, my brother, my sister, whatever. I'm going to keep it real, number one. That's why we serve here at the Now Network. It's not our will. It's the will of God. And then on top of that, my sister, and I see about 9 of you guys on here right now, and y'all know how I roll with y'all. It's like y'all my blood sister. And I'm looking out for you. Don't let me see something going on. I'm all up in your business. Y'all know that much about me. And I'm very protective over Women Speak Now. You know, this is a sovereign place that my sisters can speak and can minister and can be allowed to be heard all over the world. And can't nobody say nothing about it. I dare them to say something. Watch me go off. But anyway, God is good. Woman of God, it was awesome. We must start looking deeper at this stuff. Why would we have a – maybe we need to talk about that. And God is – I think this was a reason. You know, I don't believe in coincidences. Everything was purpose. Mm-hmm. And remember we had that little conversation about something that was so real and so was down to gritty, a talk show that could really be heard, you know.
Right.
We need something that's down that we could talk about stuff like that. Why brothers still out there feel this way about women, or why women still feel this way about men, and why can't we just get along? Maybe that should be the name of the show.
Can't we all get along? Yes, let's do it. We can start back up. Let's talk about it and get our topics. Remember, we never even knew what the topic was going to be. Whatever we felt the Lord led us to do, we just talked about it or whatever current. Because again, me and you both, we have never preached past our life. Whenever there's a relevant conversation, it's because we just experienced it and went through it. And we want to try to help somebody else, you know what I'm saying, through it as well. So we can get Let's Talk About It going back up. And if the people, you know, whatever they want to hear, please let Pastor E know if there's some subjects that you want us to talk about.
No, let us both know. let us both know what you want to talk about. Let's talk about it. But we need more interaction. Me and my sister can sit up there a whole hour and talk. We got three. Can you get involved too? Let's all talk about it. Let's talk Jesus, like on Monday. You know, we're about to, we've gotten some pull. I know you, Prophet Dwayne and Pastor Dwayne and a few others. We're looking for more. It's more of you out there that follow this, that we want every night to be filled with something that we know we can go to that's sovereign. You know you're going to be protected here. You know if you need to be confidential, we got a green room for you or a private phone number. You call me directly. Call Pastor V directly and talk to us one-on-one. You need counseling. We're here for that. You don't have to go to somebody you don't trust. But that's what Network is about, a place that is for sovereignty, that you can come and listen and hear the truth. And even when things go left, we can still tell the truth and not go left field. Now, I don't have no ill feelings against nobody, but I know who I'm going to deal with. I'm dealing with those that have the respect of everyone and the love of their neighbor as they do themselves. If you don't, I still love you, and I believe you're going to make it. But until you make it, see, one thing, and this is, I'm going to say this in closing and let you pray us out of here. I was telling God the other day, he said, man, you know, I called you, man, and man, you pray for me. Every time I call you, pray. You say you ain't going to pray for me, you're going to pray with me. I said, yeah. Well, man, my message still, man, everything's still going through hell. I said, brother, man, hold on. I told you day one, if you're out of God, my prayers do not work.
That's right.
God's favor, that's on God. God's grace, that's on you. But if you're asking me to pray for you and to believe with you, you got to be over here in the playground where I'm at, serving him with my all, saying I trust him, that I can touch him with one. He didn't say five, six, eight. He said, well, there are two that agree on anything on this earth. That's all I need is you. But you got to believe the same thing I believe. And then we pray, and you go back out there to the club. You go back out there doing what you do. You go out there abusing your kids and your family and everybody you know, and you expect it to work. It's not going to work, y'all. If you want the benefits of God, you got to come over here and be beneficial to God. I'm going to leave that alone right there.
But that's what's happening with some of the pastors. They're being drained by praying for you, and you don't want to live a nickel worth of nothing. You want the pastor or your leader to pray for you when you, like you said, you going back out there doing everything and they're trying to pray hard for your situation to turn around, but you're not trying to help yourself turn the situation around. That's why I said in the message, start going to God for yourself on some of these things. You don't need to go to him all the time. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and praise you for this evening, O God. Thank you and praise you, God, for the word that you have given us, O Lord. Ask him, Father, that you begin to touch our hearts, our minds, our spirits, God, to be able to lift one another up in prayer, lift our leaders up in prayer all across this world, all across this nation, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I'm asking right now in the name of Jesus that every leader or anybody, Lord, that is going through a situation right now on the verge of breakdowns, oh God, on the verge of depression, on the verge of suicide, God, that somebody reaches out to them right now.
Right now,
in the mighty name of Jesus, whether it's a phone call, whether it's a text, whether it's a Facebook inbox, that they get that alert right now, God, in the name of Jesus, to change their mind, oh God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, then send somebody that they can talk to, that they can pray with, and they can cry with, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, draw them out, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, draw them out right now, God. In the name of, send your angels to encamp around them, oh God. Lord, send your Holy Spirit, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, let them know, Father, not to lose hope, Father. In the name of Jesus, trusting in you, casting that care upon you, confessing that sin, repenting, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, whatever it is, help them to
Thank
lay
you,
it at
Jesus.
Your feet, God. In the mighty name of Jesus. Help us, oh God, to unify. Help us, oh God, to be true brothers and sisters in Christ for one another, oh God. In the name of Jesus, help us to love on each other for real. Help us to pray for one another for real. Help us, oh God, to encourage one another for real, oh God. Lord, you said in the last days, Lord, that men will be lovers of themselves. You said that love will wax cold, God. We're in those last days where love, even amongst the brethren, is waxing cold, God. But let it not be said among any of us, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, we glorify you, and magnify you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. Yeah, I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. I lift my hands in total adoration. You reign on the throne, for you are God and God alone. Because of you, my cloudy days are gone.
Thank you.
I can sing to you this song. I just want to say that I love you more than anything. Yeah. Come on, sing.